Let's get it cranked up. What is going on? Thank you so much for being out there. We appreciate you. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't be allowed to do these stupid jobs.
By the way, did you see the report yesterday on which NBA player is most recently dating an Instagram model?
No, I would assume all of them were. Who's the latest?
What would affect the world that we live in more than this player dating an Instagram model? Take one guess.
Anthony Davis.
Klay Thompson.
There you go. Boy, Klay.
Michael's biggest fear.
He gets all over Instagram, doesn't he? He's all about those Instagram models.
That's what I would do. Good
how do you
Klay.
Even make that? How do you even make that?
Come on, you slide in.
Yeah, but
slide into the DM.
Does the Instagram model slide into Klay's DM, or does Klay DM to the Instagram model?
It is a two-way street, Mace. Either side may reach out to either side.
You know, nobody ever slides into my DMs. My DMs are open. Nobody ever slides. I mean, people slide in, but I've never had anybody slide
like,
in.
Like, hey, are you single?
Yeah, nobody. And I'm not. But I've never had anybody slide in.
Put it out there
that
you're not. So, you know, your chances of getting it. Like, everybody knows I'm married, so I'm not getting any people sliding in.
It would be a nice compliment.
I bet you Lindsay has. Lindsay, have you had guys try to slide into your DMs since you got this ESPN LA job?
I mean, I think I have, like, since I've had Instagram, because I'm a woman.
Right.
So people have slid in.
That's the only, if you're a woman, people slide in automatically?
Oh, yeah. Guys have no shame. They don't care. They'll just do whatever.
Do you ever slide into somebody else's DMs?
I do sometimes to try and get guests, but not in, like, a dating type of way.
Well, yeah, no, the guests is totally different.
It's still sliding in someone's DMs trying
to
get guests.
Yeah, my DMs are always open, by the way. John, you don't have open DMs, right?
I don't know. I was DMing with some listeners yesterday. I don't know if I think if I follow you, you can send me a DM, but if I don't, you can't.
Anybody can slide into my DMs. Anybody. So it's interesting.
So I encourage everybody listening to slide into Mason's DM ask him for money. See if he gives you any.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Why not? So, by the way, Lindsay, did the creepy guy, have you officially broken off with the creepy guy back and forth with?
She tried to break it off. The creepy guy wasn't getting the hint. Has he texted you today?
I haven't got a text today.
Okay, good.
I mean,
good.
We literally only texted each other like four times, so there was never anything to break off.
It wasn't 62 times?
No, it was probably, but I do have 13 unreciprocated texts from him.
13? Good. Come on, get the hint, dude.
At some point, you got to get that Lindsay ain't into you.
Yeah, all you got to do, if you don't want me to bug you, send me one. Stop bugging me. You're out. I'll delete you from my phone. I got too many people in there anyway.
We got so much coming up. There's such interesting stuff today. Did you watch I don't want to get into politics, but did you watch the inauguration?
I did, all of it.
Yeah, it actually feels really good.
Apolitical, yeah. I think. Who was that girl from L.A. who read the poem? She's stunning.
She's been the star of the inauguration so far.
Okay, so you know what my reaction was? She's 22.
Right.
She gets done reading that poem, and I looked
at
Lisa.
And the poem is beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful poem.
I looked at Lisa, and I went, man, I wish I would have paid more attention to poetry in school. I mean, I don't have that club in my bag. Do you?
No. I can't write a poem to say my. Although you're good at limericks, John.
Yeah.
Very good at limericks.
Yeah, limericks are easy for me, but poems I've never really tried.
It's actually really cool, though. Every 4 years we do this thing, and it's really cool, and it's an American tradition, and everybody today feels, you know, like,
by
hey,
the way,
we got a new president.
I don't want to yada yada that poet. Her name was Amanda Gorman.
There you go.
She's actually a really good story, and you should Google Amanda Gorman. She was a byproduct of L.A. She's the youth poet laureate, and I don't know why they picked her, but whoever picked her just hit a grand slam. She was unbelievable.
Yeah, she was fantastic. All right, so we got a lot of stuff coming up today. Bill Plachke, our buddy Bill Plachke, is going to stop by at 1:30. At 2 o'clock, Dan Graziano is going to be with us, ESPN NFL Insider. We're giving away $1,000 this week. You got to be listening at 2 o'clock for our Lakers back-to-back phrase that pays, part 1 at 2, part 2 at 2:15, 2:30, a chance to win. And on top of that, in the third hour of the show, 3 o'clock, I just had this idea that what we're going to do is, John, you're going to say the thing you most love about me, mm-hmm. and the thing you most hate about me.
Yes. Not only you, Jorge, and Lindsay.
And I'm going to do the same with you guys, and then Lindsay and Jorge are going to do it too. So we're going to get kind of personal in our 3 o'clock hour today.
It's in honor of Jared Goff and Sean McVay. They
yes.
need marriage counseling.
Yes,
according,
they do.
According to several reports.
And
Steve Weiss from the NFL Network was the one who first coined that phrase, that the two of them need marriage counseling. So we're going to do basically an open counseling session. Based
yes.
on how it goes with us, it will determine if whether or not Sean McVay and Jared Goff have a chance to make it.
Now, here is Steve Weiss from NFL Network. I think he was on with George and LZ last night. Do you have that there, Jorge? Jared Goff and Sean McVay need marriage counseling.
We know John Wolford came in and you know, they were excited about him when Jared Goff got hurt and the way he performed. Then he got hurt. So I think a lot of people are wondering, is they're going to bring in a veteran type of quarterback to push Jared Goff this offseason, or to at least have that threat there as a backup to see if they can elevate Goff? And people I've spoken to said basically at this moment the relationship with Goff and McVay, not great. They need marriage counseling, is what one person said to me. I think this is something that they're going to be able to work through, but there's got to be some healing, and that's not just with Jared Goff's injured thumb.
So weird, because for the first couple of years, there was this idea that Jared Goff was an extension of McVay on the field. You know, he's in his head. He talks right up until that 15-second mark, and Jared Goff executes. And this year was the first time that I've heard McVay throw anybody under the bus, and he did it multiple times with Jared Goff. And let's be honest, Jared Goff got benched in the Seattle game, in the wild card weekend. I mean, he was healthy, he wanted to go, and McVay opted for Wolford. And I think, John, if Wolford had not suffered the head injury that he did in the Seattle game, he probably would have gotten the start in the game, the second game of the playoffs, the divisional round against Green Bay. What do you think?
Oh, I there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
This is something that you've kind of come around to, but I thought from the beginning. Bill Plachke is coming up, but I thought from the beginning.
Yeah.
That Wolford gives him a better chance to win, and whether or not you agree with that, Sean McVay thinks that. You know, Sean McVay has thought that since Wolford played that one game against Arizona.
In fairness, though, Wolford couldn't have done anything in that Green Bay game that would have saved the day. Like, Jared Goff played well.
Yeah, what ruined them in the Green Bay game was Aaron Donald.
Was Aaron Donald, yeah. Who, by the way, was named Defensive Player of the Year this year in the NFL. Congratulations to Aaron Donald.
My official response to that, and aggregators, you can go ahead and
okay,
quote me
good.
On this.
Yeah.
Duh.
Duh.
That's my official response to that.
We never get aggregated.
Duh.
We're not aggregated.
John Ireland, ESPN LA, when asked when Jared Goff or when Aaron Donald was named NFL Defensive Player of the Year, his official comment, duh.
Yeah.
Amanda Gorman has phrases and poems, and you know, she's very eloquent.
Yes.
My response, duh.
Duh.
By the way, Beto just sent me a text. Amanda Gorman this morning when she woke up.
Yes.
Had 25,000 followers on Twitter.
Yep.
After she did her thing, she's up to 650,000.
Whoa!
That's called meeting your moment right
there,
people. That
is crazy. Good for her. Good for her. And I'm sure she's going to do all kinds of poems on 240-character poems on Twitter.
I hope she does.
Yeah.
I thought she was great.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I was thinking today, and God bless the guy who's doing it. But would you ever want to be the leader of the free world?
Sure, why not?
No, seriously, think about it honestly.
No, I am thinking about it honestly. I would. I would surround myself with people smarter than me. But, why not?
You know, I have said, and people think I'm joking about this, but my congresswoman is Karen Bass, who I think is just a fantastic representative. I think she was on the short list to be the vice president. and was almost became our senator replacing Kamala Harris. If she ever said, I'm doing something else, I honestly would run for Congress. I think it would
Give me your 15-second platform, your elevator pitch on why I should vote for you for Congress.
Okay. Legal weed federally, and everybody under $50,000 a year pays no taxes.
I think you're in trouble.
Why?
What's your position on immigration?
Immigration?
Yeah.
I'm for a path to citizenship.
I mean, you've got to work out who gets the no taxes and who doesn't. You've got some hurdles there. But
you pay more taxes. That's the rule.
I would vote for you just because I know you. Even though I wouldn't agree with all your policies. I'd rather have a guy I know in office than a guy I don't.
Yeah, I know what I don't know.
I think you'd have to leave the radio.
I would.
Isn't there a deal where, is there still that rule, the equal time rule?
Yeah, I don't think you can.
ESPN, if you had a radio show, then ESPN would have to offer 3 hours a day to your opponent.
Yeah, I don't think you can run for Congress and be on the radio for 3 hours every single day. By the way, the thing I don't know is, what if I ran as Steve Mashonsky and on the radio I was Steve Mason?
Oh, people will figure that out.
Yeah, no, people figure it out. Yeah. No, but I always thought I would, I'd be interested in doing that. That would be a great third act. Do you ever think about your third act, John?
Yes, I'd like it to be retirement.
Yeah, that's your third act as you retire.
Well, what I've often realized over the last probably 3 years is this idea of working two or three jobs my whole life.
Yeah.
Has burned me out to the point where I'm anxious to get off the ride rather than continue the ride. You're anxious to continue the ride.
Yeah, I'm looking to continue to do it like I do my podcast. My podcast is going to continue long after I'm off the radio.
Good.
Like that's going to be my thing. A couple of times a week you do
a
podcast.
By the way, who knocked me off as the most downloads on your podcast, or did I get it back when I interviewed you?
You got it back when you interviewed me. The most listened to podcast, Culture Pop podcast.
And how many roughly have there been?
You interviewing me. What's that?
How many roughly have you done?
I've done 95.
All right, I want to know when someone eclipses me, because then it's going to be round three.
Yes.
I need to, for my own ego, have the top spot.
A close second, by the way, was the Bryan Cranston podcast.
Well, the fact that I have anything over Bryan, even temporarily, might be the biggest moment of my life. So
exactly.
Just throwing that out there.
Coming up next, hey, I'll tell you what. Gilbert Arenas said something really interesting on some podcast or somewhere
Agent Zero.
And I don't even know where we got this, but it's interesting. He says, the question is, would Michael Jordan have won a title with those Cleveland LeBron teams? In other words, if you subbed in Jordan for LeBron. And he's got a really interesting answer. Plus, Bill Plaschke is going to join us at 1:30. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Yeah! Many of you sliding into my DMs, all of you saying, I just love Mason and Ireland. I wanted to say that. Listener for many years, first time ever in your DMs. You guys are great. Hashtag Rams House, Ramily, all kinds of stuff in my DMs. So, yeah, you can always DM me. Actually, you can also, I don't want to give that one out. I almost gave out my, yeah, no.
Well, no,
yeah,
you used to give out your Gmail address.
Yeah,
VeniceMace at whatever that was.
VeniceMace@gmail.com. You can email me, too. VeniceMace@gmail.com. All right, so this is interesting. First of all, get to your passing information, because this is really interesting.
So I couldn't figure out why so many people were asking me what's up with Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers. And Jeff Passan, about an hour ago, put the pie. And Jeff's not one of those guys that throws stuff up on a wall and to see if it sticks. Jeff
right.
was so
he's legit.
All right, Jeff wrote this. The Dodgers are monitoring the market for right-hander Trevor Bauer and could be a player depending on the price, sources tell ESPN. Focus for the Dodgers now remains a right-handed infield bat, but Bauer and the Dodgers remain a possibility as his market develops. Then Aldin Gonzalez retweeted Passan's tweet and writes this. Only Mookie Betts, is currently on the books beyond the 2022 season, though Cody Bellinger and Walker Buehler will be expensive by then. Bauer would blow them past the collective bargaining threshold in 2021, but a short-term, high-average value deal is always appealing for them for a talent like that. So let's connect some dots here.
Yep.
Trevor Bauer's from Valencia.
Yep.
Went to UCLA. He is the reigning National League Cy Young Award winner. He was unbelievable last year. The market's depressed by a pandemic. Nobody is really offering. DJ LeMahieu got a six-year deal.
Yeah, by the way, just to dunk in there, I was surprised George Springer, 6 years, 180. That's right. That seems lower than I expected.
But no pitchers have gotten those long, you know, deals that you and I hate, the 6-7 year CC Sabathia type deals. If Trevor Bauer doesn't have a market for a long-term deal, like nobody's offering him 5-6 years, the Dodgers will get interested in a hurry. Every big free agent that has signed, the Dodgers were always interested if they could get him on. Andrew Friedman works on short deals. He's comfortable giving 4.
Yep.
He 2 or 3 he'll do in a heartbeat.
Sure.
But he's comfortable giving 4. I think this is a real possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but hey, we're 5 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting, and things are. Michael Brantley, there was a rumor he was going to sign with the Blue Jays this morning.
Yeah, Blue Jays are really going big.
It's over. He signed with the Astros. The Astros panicked and came back to him and said, "Have you signed yet?" So deals are happening this week. I think Bauer could sign in the next 72 hours, and if he does. I think it could be with the Dodgers. I'm not saying anything, but it makes sense to me.
Let me throw you something. This is the actual Dodgers starting rotation. And the question is, who do you actually bump?
Okay.
So Buehler's your 1. Kershaw's your 2. Julio Urias, who was fantastic in the postseason, is your 3. I would assume
it's
David Price.
Not Urias.
Yeah, Urias is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Julius.
Just say Julio.
Julio. Is your 3. I would assume David Price is your 4, Dustin May is your 5.
Right.
What isn't it overkill to add Trevor Bauer? I mean, I know
no.
Cy Young Award winner
either,
and all that
either,
stuff.
Either Julio or Dustin goes to the bullpen. And by the way, Urias in the World Series was unbelievable as a reliever.
Money.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was money.
So you could turn him into Eric Gagne if you wanted to. I know he wants to start, but just... And, you know, same thing with Dustin May. Dustin May and Julio Urias really weren't postseason starters. I know they started some games. I think they each started 2 games in the postseason, but they were primarily used in relief roles.
In relief, yeah. Yeah, they were putting together those 27 outs, which
right.
is a little different in the postseason
Man,
than
if they
it
get
is in the regular
if they get,
season.
If they get Trevor Bauer, just, I mean, it's just a Padres-Dodgers arms race.
Yeah, and the Padres.
No pun intended.
The Padres have sneakily gone about their business in the postseason. They added Joe Musgrove the other day, who's I think is a totally respectable starter. They traded for Blake Snell. They also traded for who's the other starter that they got? Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove,
the guy who's pitched for the Dodgers, Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish, yeah, that's yeah. right. Who's coming off a really good year with the Cubs. People joke about Yu Darvish, but he actually had a really good year with the Cubs this past year. And the Dodgers really, the bullpen is going to look very, very similar to the bullpen we saw last year. I mean, Kenley, you know, is in there somewhere. May not be the closer. Blake Treinen, they re-signed. He feels more like a closer possibility. Corey Knebel that they got from Milwaukee, they signed. You still have Brusdar Graterol. You still have Victor Gonzalez. You still have Joe Kelly. They signed Dylan Floro. They still have Adam Kolarik. They still have Scott Alexander.
And now
and
you could be
Brandon
adding
Morrow.
You could be adding Dustin May or Julio Urias. So
yes.
I think they'll be okay. Hey, Bob, since we have Plachy coming up, tell the Gilbert Arenas story.
Oh yeah. So Gilbert Arenas appeared on the Complex. Say that, Lindsay, the Complex Sports Podcast?
Well, Complex is a good sports website.
Yeah,
they got a lot of content.
The Complex Sports Podcast. That's all it's called.
Okay, Complex Sports Podcast. And listen to what he said about LeBron James.
The reason that I feel LeBron is the GOAT is because during pressure times, he still makes the actual right decision versus what us fans and the public wants him to do. You know, and that's what separates, you know, him from Jordan and Kobe, where if you give Jordan and Kobe those Cavs teams, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. They wouldn't have made it to the championship because Jordan would have just averaged 60 and said, the hell with it.
So he's saying that those Cavs teams with Jordan would not have been as successful as they were with LeBron. What do you think?
Disagree. I think Jordan, and by the way, those Cavs teams still had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. They were a three-headed monster. That's why they made it all those years.
Wait, is that the teams that he's talking about, though, or is he talking about LeBron's first stint in Cleveland? Because those were some pretty bad teams.
But Lindsay, only made it to the finals once. That was that team that made it once with all those stiffs.
Is that right? LeBron only made it to the finals once before he left for Miami?
Yeah, and he got swept by the Spurs. But that Lindsay's right. That team was awful. That was the team with Mike Brown coached them, and they had Boobie Gibson,
right.
And you know a bunch of
Boobie
other
Boobie Gibson,
you know, and LeBron basically put that team on his back. But I think Jordan and Kobe would have found a way to get to the finals. They were just forces of nature. I mean, if you go down the top five or six scorers in NBA history,
yes,
all those guys got to the finals.
I think the point isn't – by the way, I agree with you. I disagree with Gilbert Arenas. But it is true that LeBron James is a guy who is completely different from Kobe and completely different from Michael Jordan. He does more often, as we pointed out last year, led the league in assists. He does far more often defer, make others look good, is much more sharing the basketball. He's a lot more like Magic Johnson – than he is like Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan. Agree?
Not only do I agree, I'll put this out there. I grew up watching Magic and Kareem, who I think are, you know, two of the top 10 players in NBA history. I covered Kobe and Shaq, their whole careers. LeBron's the most complete basketball player I've ever seen, ever. There are other people that do things, you know, better than LeBron. Kobe, you could argue, was a better scorer than LeBron. Same with Jordan. Shaq had more force. He was more like dominant, just using power. But there's never been the combination of size, speed, and smarts that LeBron James has.
Yeah.
Never in the history of the league. And he's a package of skills that we have never seen ever. And that's why I think he's in a class by himself. He just does everything. He doesn't have weakness.
Right. I mean, he's not just about scoring. He's about everything.
But, people say he can't shoot threes, so he added threes to his game, shooting 38% this year. People say he can't play defense. He's an excellent defender when he wants to be. He's the best passer on the Lakers right now. He's the consummate leader. I mean, you just look, he's played his whole career in the finals. So I always
is
tell people.
For me, he's – and I know I didn't see Bill Russell and I didn't see Elgin Baylor and all those guys, but for me – LeBron James is the best basketball player I have seen in my lifetime.
I have no problem with that statement, and I will just say he's the most complete player I've ever seen. He has a package of skills. Kobe, might have a better offensive game than LeBron, and Kobe was underrated defensively, but Kobe isn't the passer that LeBron was.
Yep.
Kobe would lead with an iron fist. LeBron kind of brings everybody into the tent. What LeBron has done off the court, he doesn't get enough credit for. He's the most complete basketball player ever.
All right. Coming up next for you, Bill Plaschke is going to come on and hang out with us. He's from the LA Times, of course, legendary columnist. And then, John, at 1:40, the weirdest way to burn your house down, a British woman almost did it. Do you know that story?
No.
Okay, well, that's coming up for you at 1:40. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so guy we love to read in the LA Times virtually every day, always on it, Bill Plaschke is here. Hey, Bill, what are you doing, man?
I told you, don't sleep on this golf McVay thing. I told you.
Bill, yeah. I'm glad you brought it up because I've been with you lockstep. I think they need to move on from golf. The question is, for guys like me and you, are we pipe dreaming? He's a gigantic cap hit. It would be monstrous. They can't cut him now.
$65
million. Yeah, they can't cut him now. Bill, even if they can trade him, which I think is hard to do, he'd still be a $22 million cap hit. Is what you and I are advocating even realistic?
Yeah, I think in any other organization, maybe not. But the Rams, they've done this stuff before. I mean, they traded for Jalen Ramsey. They traded for Marcus Peters way back when. I know, but they have done they rose from the lowest draft pick ever to get the number one pick, and they traded everything away. I don't know. I just know Deshaun Watson's available. I know that. And I know a couple other quarterbacks are going to be available.
But you know, Bill, that's a pipe dream.
I'm just not – I don't count Les Snead out with for anything. I don't know why Sean McVay would say what he said and come out and actually admit
I agree
what
with
John
you.
And I have been talking about. Why would he say it unless he thought there was a chance they could move on from it?
Now, Bill, you know I'm
– because there's no walking that back.
You know I'm part of the Ramley. hashtag Rams House. I love the Rams.
I know.
I'm a season ticket holder. I actually bought personal seat licenses for next year at SoFi Stadium. And I don't want to shine people on. The Deshaun Watson thing is a total pipe dream. I don't see any way that could possibly work.
Well, I think, obviously, Miami's got the lead on that one. But I do think – when it comes to the NFL, I mean, when it comes to making things happen, Les Snead had, they have young talent. They have young defensive talent. I mean, they can do a lot of things. I just think I'm not counting the Rams. The Rams have been so bold and even brazen
Agreed.
In some of the stuff
yeah.
they've done and the stuff they've tried. I mean, even Kroenke building a stadium in the town that hadn't had NFL in 22 years.
Yeah, they keep doing the impossible. You're right, Bill. And we're talking
do.
To Bill. Bill, here's my wild idea. Tell me if it's ridiculous. The other team that Deshaun Watson has been linked to, Adam Schefter started it, and it's got some traction, is he could be traded to the Jets. The Jets have a ridiculous amount of draft capital. They have cap room. They could trade for Deshaun Watson.
Oh, you're not saying bring Sam Darnold back home.
I am.
You're
not.
Not a bad idea.
What do you think?
No, I don't think it's a
Why don't you like it?
I just don't think he's proven himself. I don't think he can be a big-time quarterback. I think that's just golf 2.0. I mean, I just think
except
it's
he can
thing.
Run. Sam
yeah.
can run.
And plus, Bill, we tend to write off guys way too early. You know, Josh Allen didn't emerge until year three. I mean, it takes some time for guys to develop.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen enough from Sam, but it would be a good PR thing for them.
Would you want to be judged by your first two columns, Bill? Your first two columns.
No,
do you want to be judged by those?
My first eight stories for the LA Times were totally rewritten by the desk.
Bill,
is that right?
1987.
Hey, Bill, if you
eight,
went back.
Eight in a row were totally redone.
Bill, if you went back and listened to the first 3 weeks of the Mason Ireland show in 1994,
Brilliance.
It was so bad that Mason and I were considering. Alternate careers.
I did listen to you guys back then. Back when you were in San Diego, I did listen to you guys back then. I lived in San Diego at the time.
The beginning was bad. The beginning was bad. Hey, so let's pivot for a second to the Dodgers. You've been advocating they re-sign Justin Turner. You think it's important because of the way the dominoes have moved. You now think it's likely that Justin Turner's coming back?
Yeah, I think when Toronto made that big move for George Springer, Toronto was going to be his landing spot, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I think, yes. And I think the fact, I think it's not lost on anybody who was one of the players at Tommy Lasorda's memorial service yesterday. Justin Turner.
Ah, yeah.
Don't think of, but don't forget that. He was one of the players. He was one of the few players who were there, who were invited. It was an invitation-only deal. He was there. That means something. Yeah, I think in a perfect scenario, Andrew Friedman would not bring him back. He kind of goes against what Andrew Friedman believes in, replaceable players, younger players, better contracts. But I think Justin Turner supersedes that, as we've talked about before on the show. And I think Friedman knows that.
See, I think
he was at, how are you going to let a guy go days after he was at the funeral?
Yeah.
One of the few players at the funeral of your most revered ambassador.
Bill, I think Kike is gone. I think he's off
the
board.
Oh, yeah, he's gone. He's gone for sure.
But I think Marcus Semien is a guy that they're going to sign. I think they're going to wind up with both Justin Turner and Marcus Semien. Do you think?
Yeah, I think that's very, very possible. And I think that they're going to be the best team in baseball again next year if they get Justin Turner. I think they'll be the best team in baseball once again next year. Everybody talks about Toronto being so stacked and so loaded, but that's a mishmash of a lineup. The Dodgers, they're just on cruise control right now. But I think the Turner thing is going to be the next domino to fall. And I think because Toronto's been now, the Braves are still in the running form for what I understand.
Yeah.
But I do think, again, I think his ties to the community, I think not only the Dodgers know he's more valuable here than anywhere else, I think he knows he has more value here than anywhere else. Even if he makes more money someplace else.
We're talking to Bill Plachke from the LA Times. You can read Bill almost every day at latimes.com. He's written more good columns for that paper than anyone alive. Bill, when you look, when you look at the Lakers and kind of the way the West is stacking up, I love this team. I'm biased because I cover all these games, but I think the Brooklyn Nets are coming out of the East. I think that move they made to get James Harden moves them to the front. Mason thinks it's not going to work. He thinks there's only one ball and those three guys aren't going to be able to share it. What do you think?
Oh no, I think you're right, John. I actually watched the Nets before the Laker game. Before listening to
yeah,
the Lakers,
I watched the other night too with Milwaukee.
Yeah, play the Bucks. It's going to work, man. Just add Kyrie. First off, James Harden's first game was a triple double. How many points did Durant score in that game? And Harden got a triple double.
42.
Yeah. You tell me he can't share the ball. You tell me they won't work together. And you tell me Kyrie won't be bought in now. We know this we've seen this from players, and you've seen this more than I have. All over the NBA. Players
honeymoon period, Bill. It's a honeymoon period.
No, but the honeymoon is real. This is a real wedding. This is a real marriage. This is a real thing.
Bill, I got to ask you something. Why do you come on this show and always agree with John and disagree with me?
Because you're wrong all the time.
You never take my side on anything, Bill.
I think the point John makes is good is that you are pretty much wrong a lot of the time. That's why I think John.
A little bit later on, by the way, we're going to do the thing I love about John the most and the thing I hate about John the most.
The second part will be longer, Bill. The hate part will be longer.
He's going to do the same for me. What do you love most about Mason and Ireland, and what do you hate most about Mason and Ireland?
I love most that you guys have been there together forever. That continuity is huge. You guys sound like an old married couple when you're talking to each other. That is, on radio today, that is huge. That just doesn't happen. And I hope you all don't take that for granted.
No, definitely not.
We don't.
So long.
The people we work for might sometimes, but we don't. No, so
and what do you hate most about us?
That you're usually full of crap, both of you.
But the fact that you share it,
the fact that you share it is tremendous. That's tremendous. And congrats to both of you. You should not take that for granted.
Cool. You know what? I think we need more people that come on and compliment us. I love that. I am a fan.
You asked me to compliment.
Yeah, I was going to say, you went fishing for compliments. You left Bill nowhere else to go.
Yeah, it was nowhere else. What else was I going to say? It was not an unsolicited compliment, for the record. Not unsolicited.
So, Bill, I read your column about Staples Center and how weird it is to have nobody in the building. Have you been allowed to go inside Staples Center?
Well, gosh, Steve, I wrote the column from there. I hope you didn't read it too darn closely.
It sounded like you were like outside the building and writing about it. So you were inside of it.
I walked in. No, I sat there the whole time. And it was hard to see. It's hard to watch. I mean, John, what do you think?
I think it's the absolute worst part about what we're all doing, Bill. I love the fact that there are games. I'm happy that we're providing a form of entertainment for basketball fans. I hate that there are no fans. I mean, I can't tell you how much I hate it. It is, and I know the players hate it too.
It's hard to follow the games. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. The games are boring. There's no runs. There's no momentum. There's no inspiration. There's nothing. That's why I think Lawrence Tanner should be the MVP of the team this year for announcing as if there's somebody there. Ladies and gentlemen, have a safe drive home. I said, LT, who are you talking to? He said, well, there's surely one lady, one gentleman out there somewhere. I mean, it's hilarious, but it's really weird. The reason I wrote the column was that it's so striking. The Lakers are the entertainment team of the sports, the most entertaining night in sports is at a Lakers game in all the country. And to have it be like this is just bizarre.
Yeah, it's got to be eerie.
Not the same.
Eerie. Yeah.
Not the same. But and Bill, I think the one thing we will get back and hopefully it's soon, we get fans back. I don't think anyone will take this stuff for granted anymore. I think that we will all have a great appreciation of what it's like to be communal, to be together, to experience these sporting events. Bill, you and I have talked about this. It's the best part of our job is that sports brings people together of all walks. Like we had an inauguration today at a Laker game. You can't tell who's a Republican, who's a Democrat. It doesn't matter. You're all rooting for the same thing.
Doesn't matter. And it's something we took for granted. And they talk about MVPs. We've learned through the pandemic, the MVP is the fans.
Yep.
Of the entire sports world. And the standing ovation, I guarantee you the players will give the fans a standing ovation when they come back.
Yep.
Because they're terribly, terribly missed.
Yeah.
It's just like, Bill,
I hate to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off. I always say that.
Wait a minute. We invited him.
Yeah, I know. But
what if I give you another compliment?
Okay. Continue.
No, Bill, don't you owe us nothing.
I'm stumped. Yeah. I have one. That's all I got in me. I got that left. I got no more.
All right, Bill. Okay. As always, appreciate you giving us your time and coming on, man. Stay safe.
And enjoying our stupidity. Thank you, man.
See you guys.
All right. There is Bill Plachke, LA Times. I used to not like him, and then all of a sudden I started liking him.
Why'd you not like him?
I always thought he was just kind of negative about everything. But now I think probably I'm that guy. Am I that guy that's negative about everything?
No, I mean, not to me.
Okay,
good. I know you, so
yeah.
I think that you're.
Save it.
All right.
Yeah, save it because that's our 3 o'clock hour today.
Okay, I'll save it.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, the weirdest way to burn down your house. A British woman almost did it. And somebody who expected a pardon today and did not get it.
Wait a minute. I thought everybody got one.
No. They were not handing them out like candy bars today.
Yeah,
not everybody got one. Also, 2 o'clock today. Don't forget our Lakers back-to-back phrase that pays. We will give you the first part of the phrase at 2, the second part of the phrase at 2:15. Your chance to win at the bottom of the hour, 2:30. And we've got a great prize package, which includes a $100 Lakers store gift card, an autographed Lakers basketball, and you qualify to win a grand, which we're giving away on Friday. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So what I say is, you know how we have that jingle, ESPN 710 Los Angeles Sports?
Yeah.
We use it all the time. I think it's time to find another jingle that we can sort of mix in. But how do we find it, Lindsay? Well, how do we find that new catchy jingle that is going to show up in all Chris Morales' fantastic imaging stuff?
I don't know. I think that was like a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Don't expect it to happen again.
Oh, come on. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody will deliver. I'm sure of it.
I don't know.
Can we give out the voicemail line and see?
Tall task.
Yeah, can we put out the voicemail line and see?
I don't remember what the voicemail line is anymore.
Oh, God. That's so sad. Well, send us an MP3. Tweet us an MP3. At Venice Mace, at LA Ireland. I want to find something else that Morales can use. Although I love the jingle as it is. And by the way, Lindsay, you said all the jingles were bad. Technically, this was a bad jingle, which we turned into a good one. So sometimes the bad ones can be the good ones.
I disagree. I think it was a great jingle from the start.
You do? Okay. I think we mocked it when it first came on. All right. So, John, this is a weird story. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. So, a lady in Britain, her name is Helga Adderwall, which is a name I completely made up. Helga Adderwall.
Got it. Very good made-up name.
Yeah. She bought a candle, and she put it in her house. And the candle almost burned her place down. It exploded. She says it was scary at the time, but funny looking back. And you know what the candle was?
No.
It was that candle that Gwyneth Paltrow made.
Oh.
That is supposed to smell like a vagina.
I do remember that candle.
And
that candle blew up?
It blew up. It absolutely blew up. By the way, that candle has a thing. It's here's what Gwyneth says on her fancy Goop thing. I hate that Goop thing. Does Lisa read Goop?
No.
Yeah, I just think it's garbage. Anyway, she says, scent notes including geranium, citrusy bergamot, and cedar absolutes juxtaposed with damask rose and ambrette seed. That's according to her online Goop store where she's scamming people with a candle that smells like a vagina.
I don't know how we got on this subject.
Don't you think? It's a total scam.
Yeah, I would not buy a vagina candle. Just letting you know.
Cue up that line.
I was going to say, no, I did that line specifically for Morales.
Yeah,
yeah. He just heard that and he went, what?
So you know who didn't get pardoned today and was expecting a pardon as
I have
you know,
no. Wait, he pardoned like 150 people.
He did. So this guy.
If you don't make that cut, you've got to, you got to have no hope.
There's a guy that hired a goon to kill Carol Baskin. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Oh, Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic is imprisoned down in Florida. And he had a limo waiting outside the prison because he was sure he was going to get pardoned. And, these pardons seem to be pretty random. I guess.
Yeah, he pardoned Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne, exactly. There were random pardons, and I think Joe Exotic thought he was going to get one. And honestly, he sort of hired a goon to hire Carol Baskin. There was kind of a weird exchange of money that might have happened, and the guy never actually got close to Carol Baskin. Should Joe Exotic actually be in prison?
I don't know enough about it. I thought after watching Tiger King that there were several people on that thing that should be in prison. Here's the interesting thing. The shine has kind of worn off of that Tiger King. Like, their 15 minutes are up. And aren't there two movies in the works about it?
Two movies in the works.
So I wonder did the movies miss their window? Like, will people get back? Like, Kate McKinnon's involved with one of them.
Yeah, Kate McKinnon is producing and plays Carol Baskin in one of them. I'll watch anything Kate McKinnon does.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be a miniseries, I think, on Netflix. Speaking of miniseries or documentary series, I think the embargo is now lifted on the Tiger Woods documentary. You watched part two, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I think I recommend this documentary. I think it's on HBO Max.
Right.
And if you get it HBO Max, it's confusing, but I figured that out. And the first part of the Tiger Woods documentary, the thing that jumps out at me is the whole Winnebago story. So Earl Woods, when Tiger was growing up and was young and learning golf, had a Winnebago, and they showed it, like, parked by the course.
Parked outside the golf course. Right.
Yeah. And he had a steady stream of women coming in and out of that Winnebago. Now, you think about that. As a kid, you see your dad doing that. Isn't that your destiny? Aren't you destined to do exactly the same thing, which is what Tiger did?
Right. And then it becomes systemic.
Right.
And and Tiger watched Earl probably lie to his mom, and then he ended up lying to Elin. That documentary, the first part is all about golf, except for this part you're talking about. And then the second part is all about the fall.
Yes.
You know, like how he fell. And then it ends.
I had forgotten, by the way, what a huge deal it was. Like the way we watched that press conference and how the world kind of stopped. That was a gigantic, gigantic press conference. We all watched that from beginning to end.
Well, and there's amazing things in this. Like, you know, it was kind of like we had this story yesterday with Jared Porter, the Mets guy.
Yes.
And that story happened in 2016, and ESPN had the story in 2017, and they elected not to run it. In the case of Tiger, the National Enquirer had the story 2 years before they ran it.
Yeah.
And the thing that just goes to you to show how absolute power corrupts, the National Enquirer also owned a fitness magazine.
Yeah, Men's Fitness.
Fitness.
Yep.
And basically, Tiger's team cut a deal. Tiger will do your cover and do an exclusive fitness story with you if you kill the story. And they did it.
And that was the Perkins Pancake hostess.
Right.
Who, and this is the weird part. So Tiger and Elin would go to this Perkins Pancake restaurant all the time. And he got he just fell in love with this hostess. And so he ended up hooking up with the hostess at a place where he and Elin would go to eat breakfast all the time. I mean, at one point they say Tiger was living 7 different lives at the same time. You know, he would have, it was kind of the girl in every port thing, right?
Right.
But it wasn't just hookups. Like, he would have actual relationships where they were sharing and they were intimate in what they said. It wasn't just about sex. It was intimate in what they said. And all these women felt that they were the only one in the world to Tiger. And he was able to have, like, multiple of these relationships going on at the same time. It wasn't just a hookup. It was an actual relationship.
And the ability he had to compartmentalize. Like, if you were doing that, imagine if you were living that life, or in that case, 7 lives, and then you're still winning every tournament. You're still, like, he could just turn it off when he got to the golf course. I would be like, my head would be in a million places. And you saw when it all came crumbling down that his head went to a million places.
Oh, yeah.
But while it was going on, he was able to compartmentalize it. And it was, you know, it all kind of worked for him.
Did you know anything about that whole Navy SEAL training? He would go to this Navy SEAL training and he would go to a kill house. And they said, yeah, we could do just about anything to Tiger as long as we didn't touch his hands. So they would, like, fire rubber bullets at him. I mean, I never knew. You knew about that?
Oh, I did. Yeah. ESPN wrote a whole, I think it was Wright Thompson, wrote a whole long piece on it. And the thing that struck me is, you know, when you reach a certain level of fame, and Tiger certainly got there when he was young, you don't, everything's given to you. You don't really you don't really pay for anything in life. And one of the stories was when he used to go work out with the Navy SEALs, one day they said, hey, let's all go to lunch. And they went to this lunch place around the corner. And you would think, you know, these SEALs have been letting Tiger work out with them for like 2 weeks. And, you know, they don't let anybody else do that. And the bill came. And Tiger not only didn't offer to pay it, he didn't even throw any money in for what he ate.
Right.
And it was because he was just so used to somebody else picking up the tab. And even Rachel Yucatel told the story of when it all came crumbling down. He called her and said, my lawyers are going to call you. Get as much as you can.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that is he's telling her to get as much of his money.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't even see that was weird. He's, you know, he was saying, you know, get as much as you can. Because what that told me was he just didn't have control of his own life.
The surreal thing is when he was having this relationship with Rachel Yucatel, who's probably the most famous of the women that he had relationships with. And at one point, the National Enquirer wrote a story about Rachel Yucatel and Tiger. And so Tiger explained to Elin there's nothing going on. It's a misunderstanding. She happened to be at this place at this time
She runs the club that I go to with my friends.
And Rachel Yucatel got on the phone with Elin and spent a half hour explaining to her how there wasn't any relationship between her and Tiger.
Doubled down on the lie.
A half hour of her explaining basically a total lie to Elin. And you know what's weird is I came away from that Tiger Woods documentary feeling kind of guilty about all the jokes I made about Tiger, because there was a real person there who was going through unbelievable personal trauma. And after seeing it, I think I will root harder for Tiger than
that
I ever have.
Wow, that surprises me, because I thought you were going to say the opposite. I thought you were going to say, like you always do, there is consequences for behavior like this and everything that happened to him he deserved.
But
We
saw the price that he paid.
Right.
I mean, he paid an enormous price.
Well, he lost his family.
Lost his family. Yeah. Lost his way. And the idea of him coming back to win the Masters was just now, I think,
and the way those other golfers crumbled around him. You know, like they showed that one thing. They all got to the 12th hole at Augusta, and it was all tied. And everybody into the water.
Yeah.
Koepka into the water. Spieth into the water. And then Tiger just puts it on the green and runs ahead of all those dudes.
Anyway, worth watching. It's a two-part documentary. It's on HBO Max. It's called Tiger. It's created and directed by Alex Gibney, the guy who did The Smartest Guys in the Room. And I think you'll have a new understanding of who Tiger Woods is as a person and what has happened in his life, how it all fell apart. So coming up next for you, Lakers back-to-back Fraser Pays. Chance to win a great prize package
Money.
And a chance to win $1,000 on Friday. Plus, Dan Graziano will join us from ESPN, talk a little bit about this weekend's NFC-AFC championship game. Is Mahomes going to play? All that stuff. And a little bit about Jared Goff's relationship with Sean McVay. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.